Now the general judgments. In spite of the length of time we have so far given to introducing our subject and then discoursing, pardon the verb, about the preludes to Christ's second coming, the main focus of this meditation is actually on the aftermath to those preludes, namely, the judgment itself. The principal lesson that Christ wants to teach us, and the main one I wish to share with you, I want to say, in my 37 years in the priesthood, I've never counted the number of retreats I have given. I have never given this kind of retreat before. I've never closed a retreat the way we're closing this one. And I think I can say I have never put my heart into a retreat more completely than this one. Consequently, what I wish to share with you is to take with all the seriousness of which we are capable with the grace of God the norms by which the whole world, and that means we too, will be judged on the last day. Those norms are all synthesized in one commandment, the practice of charity. As we reread what Christ will tell the just, why they are saved, and what he will tell the wicked, why they are lost, we are not surprisingly amazed. If we consider the number and variety of commandments that God expects us to obey, it seems, I say seems, strange that in the final analysis, in the final judgment on the last day, we should be judged on the practice of fraternal charity. Lord, we are tempted to say, haven't you given us the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, the Eight Beatitudes? Yet, on the Day of Judgment, Christ did invite some people to heaven and send others to hell, depending on their practice or failure to practice charity. My dearest friends in Christ, I hope what I'm saying does not leave you cold. All I know is that it terrifies me. understandably. We ask why. There are several reasons. I will just share two. Why it is not surprising, but totally consistent with the New Testament, that on the last day, the human race should be judged on its practice of charity. First reason. In order to practice genuine charity toward others, such as Christ requires of his followers, we must have practiced, and I know I'm not exaggerating, we must have practiced all the other virtues of the Old and New Testament. If you're going to love others the way Christ wants us to, you must have a deep, strong faith. We don't love anyone unless they are lovable. But, dear Lord, what's lovable about her or him? I can't see anything that I can love in that person. And Christ tells us, I'm not expecting you to. That's what faith is all about. I love him. I love her. Believe me, that he or she is lovable. You don't practice Christian charity without faith that can move mountains, because there are times when to love others you may have to move mountains. I know. In order to love as we must, we need hope. We've got to see something, well, in plain English, that we're getting out of this. Like good old Peter, Lord, what are we getting out of this? Well, we know human nature too well to have any illusions about getting in return in this life what we have to pay to love others as we should. We either have a deep hope looking forward to a return beyond time and eternity, or we shall not love the way we should. And finally, we have to love God. No wonder we are told, with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our mind, if we're going to love others, the way this God tells us, we must. How many times we may have to tell God, Lord, except for the love of you, I would not take it. But no period then, a comma. But out of love for you, I take it. Then finally, period. Those are the first grounds. Why it is not strange that on the last day we shall be judged on our practice or failure to practice, that so casual virtue of charity. But there is another reason. No doubt the Savior, in foretelling the last day, tells us that we shall be judged on our having given food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, had clothed the naked, had received strangers, had visited the sick and those in prison. But as now over the past 2 millennia, the church has been telling us, Christ was really speaking of the practice of every kind of charity, and not only how dare we cheapen Christ's words, and not only what we call the corporal works of mercy. Those 6 forms of charity identified in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel are only, as it were, the 6 points of a star which covers every form of our love of others, that even in a short lifetime we are given the opportunity to change the word, the obligation to practice. Christ is telling us on the last day we shall be judged by our practice of kindness toward others. Our sincerity with others. Oh, how hard it is for some people to be truly sincere. To practice respect for others. To show concern for others. How well I know. We will show as much concern, notice, show manifest concern, as we think concerning thoughts. If our minds are mainly preoccupied with ourselves, dear God, oh, we show concern, all right. You know for whom? For ourselves. We must become masters of our minds, controlling the least thought of indifference to the needs of others. Christ is telling us we shall be judged on the last day by our sympathy with others. You can't be a priest for 37 days. My case, as I said, 37 years without knowing, and this is a true statement, everyone, I repeat, everyone is suffering in some way or another, in some measure or other. Everyone carries the cross. And if the Son of God in human form in Gethsemane, this is God asking for sympathy from his so human disciples. Oh, how we crave just the glance of an understanding eye. That sees and sympathizes with what we are undergoing. On the last day we shall be judged by the encouragement we've given others through all week. God knows, and by now we know we're weak. Did you know that one of the principal ways in which God confers his grace of fortitude is through the encouragement of what other people give us? Do you hear it? We shall be judged on our generosity. God has given us, and I'm speaking to the right audience, many gifts of nature, graces beyond counting. God never gives anything, either in the order of nature or grace, to be hugged by ourselves alone. God wants us to share. From the thoughts on our mind to the time or strength or whatever the Lord has given us that others so obviously need. With apologies, my list goes on. But I think by now, at least I hope, you have a clearer idea of what is locked up in those deceptively simple reasons why Christ predicts some people will go to heaven and others will not. The love of others is not a virtue. It is not even just a cluster of virtues. It is, and we have Christ's own words to prove it. It is in this way that we show or fail to show that we are and not merely claim to be his followers. Lord Jesus, during your short visible stay on earth, you taught us many things. But there is nothing in all your teaching that you tell us is more important than what you called your commandment. Namely, that we love one another as you have loved us. You have loved us through patience and suffering, through agony, through blood. Dear Jesus, enlighten our dull minds and open our closed hearts to love those whom you put into our lives in order that by loving them we prove we love you, so that on our last day it will be, dear Jesus, our first day, the first day of a heavenly eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.